Hare Krishna. We welcome you to today's Sunday festival and love feast. Tonight's topic will be related to the new year. We have just begun the new year. And when 1 year ends and the next year begins, we naturally think about the past year, all that happened, good and bad, if you will. And we think about the next year, how we want to lead our lives in the next year. And we may make resolutions that I will come to Mangalarti every day, or I will come to the Sunday program every Sunday. I will chant so many rounds, read so much, do some service, contribute some amount to the cause. Other people may make other types of resolutions, not to become angry, not to overeat, but what is the best way to utilize our time in the next year? That answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the verse that I shall read and discuss now. So please repeat after me. This is an invocation of auspiciousness, so please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 17. Please repeat. Ayu Harati Vai Pumsam Udyan Astam Cha Yan Asau Tasya Rite Yat Kshana Nita Uttamashloka Vartaya. I will read one line and ask you to repeat. It will require your paying some attention, which is a good thing. Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam Udyam Astam Chayan Asau tasyarte yatkshano nita. Uttama shloka vartaya. Ayur harati vai pungsam. Udyan astam chayan asau. Tasyarte yatkshano nitta. Uttama shloka vartaya. Very good. Ayu, duration of life. Harati, decreases. Vai, certainly. Pumsam, of the people. Udyan, rising. Astam, setting. Cha, also. Yan, moving. Asau, the sun. Tasya, of one who glorifies the Lord. Rite, accept. Yat, by whom? Kshana, time. Nita, utilized. Uttama shloka, the all good personality of Godhead. Vartaya, in topics of. Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Both by rising and by setting. The sun decreases the duration of life. Of everyone. Except one who utilizes the time. By discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize one's lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord, injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord, can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts, this realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadev Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. Thus, the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now please listen very attentively. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin, someone without Brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If it is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Madhama gatva purnar janma navidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. Translation again. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So when the new year comes, and the old year goes, we mark the passage of time, 1 year, the rising and setting of the sun 365 times. And what is the result of the passage of time? The result is we are 1 year closer to death. Every living entity, according to his past karma or destiny, is allotted a certain duration of life in a particular body. It is already decided from the time you take birth how long you will live, how many breaths you will take. There are yogis who can prolong the duration of their lives by controlling their breathing, by slowing their breathing, they can live for 100 years, 200 years, 400 years, because they've been allotted a certain number of breaths. But we ordinary people, have no such ability to slow our breathing. And therefore, we have only so much time to live. And with every rising and setting of the sun, our duration of life is decreased. Srila Prabhupada says that we may ask a person his age, and he may say, I'm 25 years old, or 50 years old. But Srila Prabhupada says what he's really saying is, I'm 25 years dead, or I'm 50 years dead. That much of my life is gone, dead and gone. So, what is the purpose of our life? Just to eat and sleep and have sex and defend ourselves like animals? They also take birth and they grow, they mate, they have offsprings, they age, and they die. Is that what we're meant to do as human beings? No. We are meant for a higher purpose. And the higher purpose is to get out of this cycle of birth and death and attain eternal life. Attain a life of happiness, which we all desire, but which is never perfectly fulfilled in material life or in the bodily concept of life. And how is that eternal life full of bliss and knowledge realized? It is realized by hearing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. What we are doing right now, hearing topics of Krishna, that will not rob us of the time of our life, but it will bring us closer to eternal life. It sounds very easy, and it is easy. It is easy. But how much of our life do we spend hearing about Krishna? And how much time do we spend hearing about other topics and speaking about other topics and endeavoring for other ends? Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay named Bridge Ratan Mohota. Mr. Mohota had been the richest man in what later became Pakistan. Before the partition, he had been the richest man there, his family. I also visited Pakistan quite regularly for a number of years to bring the message of Krishna. And I saw his old house, Mota Mahal. It was like, really like a palace, like a Rajasthani palace. And that Mota Mahal, after partition, was given to Muhammad Ali Jinnah, who became the president of Pakistan. Anyway, he was a very wealthy man. And as businessmen do, he was always calculating in terms of gain and loss, profit and loss. Every businessman does. So Srila Prabhupada was very expert in speaking in the language that people could understand and appreciate. So he said to Mr. Mota that in the ledger of your life, there are two columns, profit and loss. And time spent in Krishna consciousness is profit. And time spent in anything without Krishna consciousness is loss. So naturally, every businessman wants to maximize his profits and minimize his losses. And then Srila Prabhupada said that the time of your life is so precious that no amount of money can buy you any extra time. A very rich man may want to extend his life. He may feel that his work is incomplete. His plans have not been realized, his goals have not been met, whatever it is. And if he tells the doctor, I'll give you any amount of money, I'll give you $100,000, I'll give you $1,000,000, just extend my life 1 week longer, the doctor cannot do it. No one can do it. So that means for millions of dollars, you can't, when the time comes, you cannot buy an extra moment. So that means that every moment in our life is precious. And we don't know how many moments we have. So we should utilize every moment for the best purpose, to realize God, to realize our eternal life in Krishna consciousness. That should be our consciousness. We should not take anything for granted because we don't know how much time we have and we don't know how much facility we will have. Sometimes it happens, it's unfortunate, just today I read a letter from a devotee in Surat, India. A very successful businessman. Very successful businessman. Not that old. I don't know for sure, but maybe early 50s. And he just discovered that he has some dread disease that could be fatal. I mean, they're doing investigations and hoping to find some solution. Who would have imagined? Who would have guessed? Such a young man, you know, good wife and nice son and daughter, thriving business. Who would have imagined that all of a sudden? And then sometimes a person may survive a stroke or whatever it is, but not be the same. So that even chanting Hare Krishna may not be possible. One is still in the body, but one may not be able to chant. as one can now. So we should really take seriously the facility that we have now, because we cannot say for sure how long we will have this facility. But the process is very easy. Just hearing about Krishna, just like we're doing. And hearing about Krishna will bring us, it will purify our hearts, Chaito Darpano Marjanam, and it will bring us closer to Krishna. And Krishna is all blissful. He is eternal. He is all powerful. We see the deities of Radha and Krishna. Krishna is always smiling. You never see a picture of Krishna lamenting, moaning, crying. No, Krishna is always happy. And we are meant to share in Krishna's happiness. Not only is Krishna happy, but all of his associates are happy. And that is Krishna's nature, and that is also our nature. But because of having fallen into material existence, our eternal blissful nature has been covered. But if we associate with Krishna by hearing about him and chanting his holy name, we share in Krishna's happiness. We become happy. You can make an experiment. I've done it many times. You may meet a person who is, whatever their mood is, you know, morose, angry, stubborn, skeptical, and ask them to chant Hare Krishna. They may say, no, I don't want to. I don't believe in this. Whatever. Or, I don't feel good today. And tell them, as I have done many times, I challenge you to chant Hare Krishna and not smile. And it happens every time without fail. They chant Hare Krishna, they can't help smiling. I mean, artificially they might try. But naturally, they smile. It happens every time. They can't avoid it. There's something about the chanting. It just makes you want to smile. And as the saying goes, I don't know how true it is or not, but it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. Now, a couple of years ago, we had a japa retreat in Joshua Tree. And in the japa retreat, we did a lot of japa. Japa means chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beads. And there were a lot of talks about chanting. Talks about chanting means talks about Krishna. Chanting Krishna's name means associating with Krishna. And devotees had profound realization of Krishna's presence through their chanting, concentrated, focused chanting. And after the retreat, one of the participants, who actually lives in the Bay Area, stop by at my little ashram in Santa Barbara and spent the night there. And the next morning, he couldn't stop chanting. And he couldn't, not only could he not stop chanting, he couldn't stop smiling. And it actually started to hurt. And so, like, he was chanting and, like, dancing. He was in such a jubilant mood. He was dancing in front of my deities, including the deity of Srila Prabhupada. And he was, like, praying, you know, this chanting is so ecstatic, but the only thing is I'm smiling so much and it's hurting. And like he sort of got the intuition or the answer that the reason it hurts is because you haven't had enough practice smiling. If you keep smiling, then, you know, those muscles will get stronger and it won't hurt anymore. So this it actually works. Now, within this very blissful and encouraging discussion of utilizing our time in Krishna consciousness, there's a quotation from Smriti Shastras, quoted by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, one of our predecessor acharyas, about how money given in charity is returned. Now, this, of course, is of interest to all of us, because we always talk about time and money. Sometimes you say time is money. So up until now, we're discussing how to invest our time. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this passage from Shastra about how to invest our money. And he says that if you give charity to a non-Brahmin, you get the money back in equal proportion. In other words, if there's some beggar on the street, you give him a dollar, then according to the law of karma, the dollar will come back to you. It's not lost. If you give to a half-educated Brahmin. Now, that's sort of hard to calculate, but there are a lot of Brahmins who are definitely not fully educated. So give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll say they're half-educated. And say you give the Brahmin $10. So you're guaranteed the same amount back, double. So you get $20 back eventually. If you give to a fully qualified Brahmin, now these are not very easy to find. If you give to a fully qualified Brahmin, you get the money back 100 or 1,000 times. And if you give the money to a Veda Paraga, someone who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, which means Krishna, you get the money back in unlimited multiplications. Now, how is that possible? It's possible only if you enter the spiritual realm, because the spiritual realm is unlimited. Everything in the material realm is limited. In fact, the word maya literally means to measure or to count. Everything in the material world, we can measure it and count it. Whereas the spiritual world, Vedanta Sutra says, Brahman is unlimited and always expanding. It's already unlimited and it's always expanding. So that's the unlimited, blissful, spiritual realm. But what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying in relation to this verse is just as money invested in charity will come back to you, time invested in Krishna consciousness will also come back to you. No matter the proportion. Now, yeah, if you give the charity to the right person, like Srila Prabhupada, fully realized soul, you get the money back in unlimited multiplications. But even if you don't, of course there's no reason why you shouldn't, but even if you don't, but any charity you give, you'll get the money back. And according to how, to whom you give the charity, you'll get the money back in greater or lesser proportion. So in the same way, any time that you devote to Krishna consciousness, that time will come back to you in the sense that it will bring you closer to your eternal life. And how quickly you reach that goal depends on how intensely you use the time in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada uses this phrase, it's an amazing sentence, the very first sentence of the purport. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. And he says, time and tide wait for no man. So acceleration, we know what that means. It means to go faster. You put your foot down on the accelerator and the car goes faster. So in a sense, we're in a race against time. Time and tide wait for no man. Every day the sun is rising and setting and our duration of life is decreased. So we have to accelerate. We have to reach the goal before time runs out. And we have to leave this body and then we don't know where we're going. We don't know if we'll have the association of devotees like we have now. We don't know if we'll have this facility like we have now. So we have to accelerate to go faster. So these are the types of thoughts that would be very fruitful for us to have as we enter the new year. And this chanting and hearing about Krishna is so enjoyable. I mean, and the more you do it, the more enjoyable it becomes. Material things, generally, the more you do them, the more you get tired of them. I remember when I was in high school, in those days we had records, phonograph records, gramophone records. So I got my little allowance and I would save up and every once in a while I'd buy a record that I really liked. And if I played it too much, which was the natural tendency, eventually I'd get sick of it. I wouldn't want to hear it anymore. So that's material happiness. And then I'd set it aside for a while, hoping that same pleasure would come back, but it never came back the same because I'd already gotten sick of it. Eating is something, you know, that first bite of Yesterday's feast was amazing. And that also counts. That's time invested in Krishna consciousness. But anyway, I don't know what it was. Those of you who are here can imagine what it was. So the first spoonful, it was a sweet. The first spoonful was amazing. It was delightful. The second, the third. Then, okay, one cup? Are there more? Okay. But eventually, you know, it starts to wear off because you can only take so much. The stomach starts to get full, and then if you eat more, you get sick. But this chanting and hearing about Krishna is the opposite. The more you do it, the more you enjoy it. The more you want to do it more. It's like one devotee mentioned at a japa retreat that he used to think that chanting his rounds was something to get out of the way so that he could live his life. And now he feels that living his life in that sense is something he wants to get out of the way so he can chant. So it's in the beginning it may take a little practice because we're conditioned. But as we chant and hear and develop taste, then that's really what we want to do. We want to use every moment that we can. That's actually one of the symptoms of developing ecstatic love, that you want to utilize every moment in Krishna's service. So it's a wonderful process. It's a wonderful opportunity that Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas have given us. So we should take full advantage with enthusiasm. I mean, if someone told you, I mean, this isn't a scam. There are a lot of scams out there too, but I mean, this isn't a scam. But I mean, if someone told you, and it was real, that if you give me $1,000 in, you know, 10 minutes later, I'll give you $1,000,000. And it was for real. It wasn't one of these Nigerian, Spanish. You would rush. You would rush to take that opportunity. So that should be our mood. We want to like rush to the temple, rush to get that association, rush to see the deities, rush to chant, rush to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and as we are approaching the time, rush to take prasad. When I sat down, I wasn't sure what the schedule was. I mean, I knew I was supposed to begin at 5, and I saw this sign here. Dear devotee, thank you for giving the Bhagavatam class. Please end class by 8:10 a.m. So I thought, well, that gives me 14 hours. I could at least make a beginning. I thought of mentioning it at the beginning of the class, but I thought it wouldn't be appreciated that much. But now, having heard the class, you can get the idea. That's really good. That's really good. Why 14 hours? Why not 14 years? But still, we will honor the schedule and your valuable time. And we will end the class here. It does say we can have 5 minutes for questions and answers. So if you do have any questions or comments, we will take another 5 minutes Yes. Yes.
So my question was, is the right understanding then at the moment of conception or birth, one should consider himself beginning to die on the path of death?
Yeah. Unless you use the time for hearing the glories of the Lord. But that's true. We, from the moment of conception, actually, a certain duration of life is allotted to us. And time is ticking. You know, it's like the, hate to say it, but like the football game. The clock is ticking. I don't even know who was in at the Rose Bowl, but it was a good opportunity for devotees to go and chant the holy name. But the clock is ticking. Clock is winding down. Time is running out. It's just like that with our life. And that's why we have to really use the time we have, because we can't increase the time and we don't know how much time we actually have. So, yeah. Yes, Hovas Prabhu. Well, the Shastra says in the next life, but there is another statement in Mahabharata that says that generally one gets the result of one's activities in the present life, half in the present life and half in the next life. But I must say that if someone gives money in charity like an investment, like a material investment, that's really not the proper mood. I mean, people may. It's really not the proper mood. We should really want to give that money so that we can realize our eternal blissful life. Because and with the economy the way it is, if you get it too soon, you might lose it sooner. So might be safer to wait to the next life. But yeah, I mean, there are many cases of devotees who've been charitable. I mean, I could tell a story, but it would... Well, we have a few minutes, but there are instances of devotees who have given charity in this life and got it back many times over in the same life. There's one devotee in Bombay, Dr. Andy Desai. His father was a big industrialist, also a member of parliament. And his father died at a relatively young age, around the age of 60. And Dr. Narendra Desai was his only son and heir to the business. And the talk around town, because we used to meet people, the talk around town was that Dr. Desai was sort of a Pollyanna, like a sort of a, sort of an innocent, simple, idealistic person who could easily be cheated. And so they were questioning whether he would be able to maintain his father's business. And so Dr. Desai, I would visit him from time to time. And one morning I came very early. I had an early appointment in Bombay, and without even informing him, I just stopped by at his house early in the morning. And he was sitting on his sofa at a very beautiful home with nice furniture covered with silk. And he was sitting and chanting very, very intently. And I was very impressed. And I asked him about it. He said he does it every morning. And he said whatever strength and energy and intelligence he needs for his day's work comes from his chanting early in the morning. And he took his father's business, I don't know how many crores it was worth, but it expanded by many times, and people were in awe. Like, how did he do it? You know, how did he do it? So that return, I mean, so many things in relation to our karma, if you will, come in the form of the intelligence that we get. So the return he got came in the form of the intelligence that Krishna gave him how to develop the business. And the business definitely multiplied 10 times, maybe even 100 times. I don't even know. And I think Krishna knew, I mean, he was giving in charity, and Krishna knew that if he gave him more, he would give more in charity. So it would be well used. The Birla family, who is one of the richest families in India, is famous, at least they used to be famous, for their temples. Practically every major city, there's a major Birla temple. Birla temple in Delhi, Birla temple in Jaipur, Birla temple in Mathura on the way to Vrindavan, Birla temple in Hyderabad. And we knew the family, and someone told us that, I don't know if you want to call it a curse or a blessing, but they were told by a sadhu that as long as they continued to build temples, they would be able to maintain their fortune and increase their fortune. And as soon as they stopped building temples, they would lose it. So, but again, we don't want to have that sort of materialistic attitude towards devotional service, but just on that pertinent question about when we get our returns, Suvas Prabhu is here to accept charity on behalf of the Veda Paraga, and he probably knew that might be in your minds, so he asked the question for you. You can realize the returns in the same life. But the best return is that you come closer to Krishna and closer to your eternal life with Krishna, which will really make you happy and really fulfill all your desires. Hare Krishna.